Mr. Roosevelt was unanimously renominated in 1936 and almost unanimously reelected. Here are some passages from a typical campaign speech, the Madison Square Garden speech of October 31st, 1936.
For 12 years, our nation was afflicted with hear nothing, see nothing, do nothing government. The nation looked to that government, but that government looked away. 9 mocking years with the golden calf and 3 long years of the scourge. 9 crazy years at the ticker and 3 long years in the breadlines. Mad years of mirage and 3 long years of despair. And my friends, powerful influences strive today to restore that kind of government with its doctrine that that government is best which is most indifferent to mankind. For nearly 4 years now, you have had an administration which, instead of twirling its thumbs, has rolled up its sleeves. And I can assure you that we will keep our sleeves rolled up. We had to struggle with the old enemies of peace, business and financial monopoly, speculation, reckless banking, class antagonism, sectionalism, war profiteering. They had begun to consider the government of the United States as a mere appendage to their own affairs. And we know now that government by organized money is just as dangerous as government by organized mob. Never before in all our history have these forces been so united against one candidate as they stand today. They are unanimous in their hate for me, and I welcome their hatred. I should like to have it said of my first administration that in it the forces of selfishness and of lust for power met their match. I should like to have it said, wait a minute, I should like to have it said of my second administration that in it these forces met their master. It is because I have sought to think in terms of the whole nation that I am confident that today, just as 4 years ago, the people want more than promises. And our vision for the future contains more than promises. This is our answer to those who, silent about their own plans, ask us to state our objectives. Of course, we will continue to seek to improve working conditions for the workers of America. To reduce hours that are overlong. To increase wages that spell starvation. To end the labor of children and to wipe out sweatshops. Of course, we will continue every effort to end monopoly in business, to support collective bargaining, to stop unfair competition, and to abolish dishonorable trade practices. And for all these, we have only just begun to fight. Of course, we will continue to work for cheaper electricity in the homes and on the farms of America. For better and cheaper transportation, for low interest rates, for sounder home financing, for better banking, for the regulation of security issues, for reciprocal trade among nations, and for the wiping out of slums. And my friends, for all of these, we have only just begun to fight. We will continue our efforts in behalf of the farmers of America. With their continued cooperation, we will do all in our power to end the piling up of huge surpluses which spell ruinous prices for their crops. We will persist in successful action for better land use, for reforestation, for the conservation of water all the way from its source to the sea, for drought control and flood control, for better marketing facilities for farm commodities, for a reduction of farm tenancy, for encouragement of farm cooperatives, for crop insurance, and for a stable food supply for the nation. And for all these, too, we have only just begun to fight. Of course, we will provide useful work for the needy unemployed, because we prefer useful work to the pauperism of a dole. Of course, we will continue our effort for young men and women so that they may obtain an education and an opportunity to put it to use. Of course, we will continue our help for the crippled, for the blind, for the mothers, our insurance for the unemployed, our security for the aged. Of course, we will continue to protect the consumer against unnecessary price spreads, against the costs that are added by monopoly and speculation. We will continue our successful efforts to increase his purchasing power and keep it constant. And for these things, too, and for a multitude of things like them, we have only just begun to fight. Spell peace at home. All our actions, all our ideals, spell also peace with other nations. Today there is war and rumor of war. We want none of it. But while we guard our shores against threats of war, we will continue to remove the causes of unrest and antagonism at home, which might make our people more easy victims to those for whom foreign war is profitable. And note well that those who stand to profit by war are not on our side in this campaign. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Democracy must cling to that message, for it is my very deep conviction that democracy cannot live without that true religion which gives a nation a sense of justice and of moral purpose. Above our political forums, above our marketplaces, stand the altars of our faith. Altars on which burn the fires of devotion that maintain all that is best in us and all that is best in our nation. We have need of that devotion today. It is that which makes it possible for government to persuade those who are mentally prepared to fight each other to go on instead to work for and to sacrifice for each other. And that is why we need to say with the old prophet, "What doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God?" That is why the recovery we seek, the recovery we are winning, is more than economic. In it are included justice and love and humility, not for ourselves as individuals alone, but for our nation. And that is the road to peace.